I'm sorry, Genesis 27, verse 1. Genesis 27, verse 1. Familiar portion of Scripture. And this is the story where Isaac goes to pass on his blessing, and he goes to pass it on to Esau, and through deception, Jacob receives it. And I just want to look this morning at when a godly family implodes, when a godly family implodes. Genesis 27, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meats, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I hear thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meats, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father preadventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the scripture, for the word of God. I thank you for this passage of Scripture this morning. I pray that, Lord, that we would take it to heart, that we would apply it to our life. I ask that if there's someone here that may not know Christ, that today they would come to know you. But I pray that we would just lift you up and make much of you. Give me wisdom and the words to say. I love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you look at the family of Isaac and Rebekah, if you could go back to the Old Testament time before this story, I think you'd look at them and you might say, well, now there is a good family. There's a perfect family. And, you know, things always look better from the outside than they do on the inside, don't they, sometimes? And, you know, social media is a good example. Boy, you see the best side of everything from social media, don't you? And then, you know, a lot of times we think we know somebody through social media, but don't really know them until you meet them and have a closer relationship with them. And here in this portion of Scripture, you see a family that has fallen apart on the inside. But if you were to go back to its start, you'd say, boy, this looks like it's a good family. Here Abraham needs a wife for a son, and he sends his servant to find a wife. And you know the story there is Abraham says, I don't want one from the world. I want an example of godly young lady. And the servant goes back to the land and brings back Rebekah. And that family, God begins to bless there. And matter of fact, when Rebekah was barren and without child, the Bible says that Isaac prayed and inquired of the Lord, and she became with child. And then Rebekah had this struggle that was in her, the struggle that began even in the womb between Esau and Jacob. And she inquired of the Lord what the problem was, and God revealed to her that there was an age-old struggle that was taking place. He said, the older brother is going to eventually serve the younger brother, and God gave that prophecy that to her that Jacob would be the take on that firstborn role and in the rest of his life. And you see two people that inquired of God when there was a struggle. And yet in this chapter, you don't see any inquiring of the Lord taking place at all. I read the story and I look at the relationship between Isaac and Rebekah. Where was their communication? Here you see, Rebekah eavesdropping rather than just having a conversation. You see Jacob or Isaac going on to pursue his own will, and Rebekah after her will, and Jacob struggling for the right, and Esau, if you read the end of the chapter, angry that he didn't get what he felt was rightfully his. You would say it's the farthest thing from what a family ought to be, from the picture that God intended. But from the outside, many times you'd look at it and say, well, what a good looking family, and yet this one just kind of blew up. It really blew up. God had promised that Jacob would be that firstborn, and this blessing kind of goes back to the birthright in some ways. This was the time when God dealt with his people through the patriarch or the head of the family, and that head of the family at this point was Isaac. It had been Abraham, and now it was Isaac. And that was supposed to pass, that role was supposed to pass on to the eldest son. But God had said that's not going to happen. It's going to pass on eventually to Jacob. And Jacob would be that role of the spiritual leader of the family. He would receive a double portion. That one of the greatest blessings would be that from that family would come the line of Christ. You know, father traced back from Abraham to Christ, and that descendant role that from which Christ would come, and that role didn't go to Esau, it came to Jacob. And God had prophesied that earlier. And yet here in this portion of Scripture, you see Isaac wanting his own way, Rebekah wanting her way, Jacob wanting his way, Esau wanting their way. No real inquiring of the Lord. Deceit. I look at Jacob. I've never really been a fan of Jacob when it came to the Bible, some of the characters of Scripture, but what a deceiver here. Boy, he even uses the Lord's name at one point. And Abraham said, how'd you get back so quickly from the field, from hunting? And he said, well, Lord, the Lord brought it to me very quickly. Boy, talk about being far from God. This all fell apart, and you read it, and you say, what happened? And I just want to give you just a few things, and I think the first thing we see here is they substituted scheming for believing. They substituted scheming for believing. Genesis 25, 22 through 23, it says, and the children struggled together within her. This is Rebekah. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. God had a plan, and that plan was that Jacob would become the patriarch of the family, and that was God's plan. But you know what they began to do? They began to scheme. They began to scheme. If you go back a chapter, the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because he was a man of the field and a hunter, but Rebekah, she loved Jacob. Jacob and Esau, they appeared to be in love with themselves. Jacob who tricked his brother or sold his or bought Esau's birthright originally for a bowl of pottage, and now Esau was trying to steal back what he had already sold. Just a whole lot of scheming, a whole lot of planning, a whole lot of trying to get their own way rather than just simply trusting God and God's timing. I think we get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we begin to scheme and to plan because we have our own way of wanting things done. You know, Isaac knew exactly what God had promised. Yet Isaac determined he loved Esau more than he loved the will of God. So he's going to pass it on to Isaac. Rebecca, she knows the promise of God. She knew what God had promised, and yet she didn't trust God enough. She decided to take matters into her own hands. The song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Boy, they tried to scheme and plan and plot their way around and into the things that they wanted rather than just trusting. You know, I think of, you know, so many times we play the part of Isaac. We know what God says, but we think our plan is better. And that was Isaac. He knew what God had said. He knew the promise of God. He knew what God had said about who would be, but he determined that what he wanted and the tradition of it all was going to matter more than what God had said. I tell you what, if we're not careful, we find ourselves in a place of saying, I like my plan better than I like this plan. I like my way of living better than I like God's way of living. I want to do it my way rather than God's way. That was Isaac. Isaac knew what God had said. He knew the promise, and yet he decided, it's not going to be Jacob. I love Esau more. I'm going to pass it on to Esau. But then there's Rebecca. Rebecca knew God's promise. She knew what God had said. And she thought God was breaking his word. Well, God's breaking his word. It's not going to happen. I know what he said back then. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen. I think I'll do it my way. Hey, Jacob, come over here. We're gonna scheme and we're going to plot. And your brother's gone out to the field. He's gone to get some venison, but I'll get a goat and you bring it up there and you bring it up here and we'll do that. And I'll throw the skin of the goat upon you. And I thought, wow, that's pretty hairy, all right? Anybody ever pet a goat? That's pretty disturbing. I don't think Esau would have been a model today's time in that day and age, all right? And he would not have been doing that. But she had her plan and she had her plot and she began to get around her way around to get what God had said, but she thought she knew better than God. Hey, talk about a dangerous place to be when you know God's promise, but you think your timing is better than God's timing. Your way of doing it is going to be better. You say, well, my motives are pure. The ends do not justify the means. You trust God. And she thought, you know what, I know what God says, but if I'm going to get it, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because I do it. In Sunday school, we looked this morning at prayer. We were talking about prayer. The Lord told his disciples, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. You know what she should have done, what she did earlier? Inquire of the Lord. We don't see Rebecca inquiring to the Lord. We don't see Isaac inquiring to the Lord. We don't see Jacob inquiring to the Lord. We don't see Esau inquiring to the Lord. None of them. They chose to scheme rather than believe. Their plans rather than trust. They got ahead of God. You know, you get yourself in a lot of trouble when you get ahead of God. Get yourself in a lot of, this is what God said, so I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to get it done. No, you better trust God. You better wait on God. His timing is not our time. Hey, his timing is often different than our timing. His ways are higher than our ways. And the importance of trusting God, trusting his timing. Hey, trusting that he's a rewarder of them which diligently what? Seek him. Here's something that looked good on the outside, but on the interior was falling apart because they were plotting and planning rather than trusting God. It is always better to see what God has to say about it than it is to rely on your own plans. Hey, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He always has been and always will be. He's already been in tomorrow and I've never seen it. He knows what's coming. He was there in the beginning. He was there in the end. To him, time means nothing. To me, time really means about everything. Well, since the day I've been saved, not so much. But God knows it all. What we don't see is anybody inquiring to the Lord and just simply trusting God. Brother Ball mentioned earlier, we're talking about Esau and what could have been. We don't know what could have been. We already know, all we know is what is. But we don't do this. They all should have just simply trusted God. There was a day when Isaac said, we're supposed to have a child. God promised us a child, yet we don't have a child yet. Let's go inquire the Lord. There was a day when Rebecca said, boy, what a battle, what a struggle is going on inside. Let me find out what's going on. Let me go inquire the Lord. Don't see that here. You don't see Jacob saying, Esau's my eldest, but God has made another promise. Let me go inquire the Lord what should be. You don't see Rebecca saying, boy, this is not working out. Isaac is heading towards a different route than God intended. The blessing looks like it's going to miss my son Jacob in spite of the fact that that's where God said it's supposed to be. Let me go inquire the Lord. What you see is a plot and a scheme and a plan to get all of them to get what they wanted rather than to trust the Lord. I would ask you this. Are you plotting and planning to get what you want out of life, or are you trusting God? Have you got your own scheme laid out in front of you, or are you trusting God and seeking His Word? This family was falling apart because they were scheming, they were planning, they were plotting, but they weren't trusting God and they weren't following God. Hey, look at this. Not only did they substituted scheming for believing, but they substituted want for love. Go back here a second. Go back just a couple pages here and look at Genesis chapter 24. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 25, verse 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Well, there was some favoritism showed there. Hey, you know, there was some human love, some human want, but not a God. Not a love that came directly from the Lord. They replaced, they replaced what should have been love with want and their own desires, their own ambitions, their own way. They loved it. They loved their own will and their own wants more than they loved the Lord. When you read this portion of Scripture and you read about Isaac and here's Isaac ignoring the will of God and choosing Esau, making him his favorite. Here's Rebekah. She's made Jacob her favorite. Here is Jacob. He doesn't care for a minute as to what's the right thing to do. He cares about getting caught. Do you see that? Rebekah tells him what to do, and he looks at her, and she goes, wait a second. When I go in there, my father's going to know who I am, and he's going to see me as a deceiver, and then I'm going to get a curse, not a blessing. He didn't care one iota what was right or wrong about it. He just cared about whether he got caught or not. Then there's Esau. He knew what was to be. He had even sold his birthright at another time. And he grew bitter and he grew angry. He just wanted his own way. Every one of them were in love with their own personal plans and their own personal wants and not in love with the things of God. You see a family falling apart, and when you see 1 Corinthians, God gives us a description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That one, it seeketh not its own, it is not easily provoked. When you read 1 Corinthians' description of love or charity, which is another word for love, I don't see that much in Genesis chapter 27. I see a lot of human, temporal love or want, and not a whole lot of a love that comes directly from the Lord. more want than you really see what God said, this is what's important. Hey, Matthew 22, 36 says this through 39, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what I think happened? I think Isaac and Rebekah fell out of love with their Lord. We don't see him inquiring of the Lord. We don't seek him seeking after the will of God. We see Isaac saying, I want Esau, and Rebekah saying, I want Jacob. We see Jacob saying, I want the blessing, I just don't want to be caught. I'll do whatever it takes to get it, but I don't want the curse, but I do want the blessing. I'll lie to my brother, I'll lie to my father, I'll lie about God. Just give me the blessing. We see Esau saying, you know, I'll get my own way. I don't care what the promise is, I want my way. They fell out of love with their Lord. I'm going to tell you, true, real love is a love that can only come from the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, all those things, love. Real love is a love that God gives. It's a love that took Christ to Calvary. They made him humble himself as a man or take on the form of a man and go to a cross. Real love. This world offers only temporary love. Human fleshly love is temporary. It's circumstantial. It's based on a circumstance. It's based on an emotion. It's based on a feeling. But a love that comes from God is eternal. What you see at play in this family was personal wants, personal desires, the flesh. Isaac wanted his way. Rebekah wanted her way. Esau wanted his way. Jacob wanted his way. They were all in love with their own way of doing things rather than being in love with the Lord. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. What are you in love with? Your number one love ought to be the Lord and his word. I can tell you what would have changed Isaac if he'd been in love with the Lord and just said, just like Jesus said before the cross, not my will be done, but what? Thine be done. If Rebekah had sat back and said, you know what, I don't know what's going on here, but I know I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm going to love him first. If Jacob had sat back and said, you know what, I don't need the blessing and honor preferring one another. Esau, you go ahead and get it. I'll let God work it out. Esau had stepped back and said, you know, doing the will of God is more important whether I have the birthright or the blessing or not. If God said Jacob, then you take it, Jacob. That would have been love. That would have been obedience. That would have been sacrifice. But they lost it. They fell out of that love just saying, I'm going to love the Lord first and I'm going to love others as myself, as Scripture said. And it all began to crumble when they got their eyes on themselves. This world, it drives me crazy. You know, the world talks about, got to love yourself. Got to love yourself. There's a recipe for eternal disaster. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Then love thy neighbor as thy what? Where's the command from God to love yourself? Someone find it for me in that Bible, those 66 books of the Bible. The inspired, preserved word of God. Where does God say, love you? Love, just, no. You know, the value that I should have in me should be through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved me so much that he gave his life on Calvary. And I'm going to love him. And I'm going to love others as Christ loved others. That means sacrifice of self. That means sacrifice of self. This family was consumed with wanting their own way, their own ambitions, their own ideas, and it was crumbling. It looked good outwardly, but inwardly it was a mess. You know how much God loved you? He loved you so much he sent his son to the cross. That's a perfect love. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man what? Lay down his life for his friend. There's no greater love than a sacrificial love. No greater love than the love that Jesus Christ had for you. that he would look at you and I and say, they're a sinner, and the penalty for sin is death, an eternal separation from the Lord and the devil's hell. And yet God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God loved you so much, he went to the cross and took you the penalty of your sin upon him, and said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Real love in this family would have been Isaac saying, not my will be done, but the Lord's will be done. Would have been Rebecca saying, I'm just going to trust the Lord. He knows better. I'm going to trust him. Would have been Esau saying, in honor, preferring one another, if that's what God wants, here you go. Even Jacob saying, if they're going to take it, they can take it. I'm just going to trust God and follow God. But it was exploding. If we were to go back and if you were to put yourself in the Old Testament and say, let me see that perfect Instagram-ready family, there would have been Isaac and Rebecca. But it was coming apart. It was coming apart because they had replaced scheming for believing, and they had substituted want for love. Hey, how about this one? They substituted happiness for joy. Happiness for joy. Here it is. You know, they had chosen happiness, and by happiness I mean a temporal, not an eternal happiness, but a circumstantial happiness. Look at chapter 40. Look at verse 41 of this chapter. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him. Look at these next few words. Read those next three words. A few what? Days. A few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which he hath done to him. And then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? Verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, my mother, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's daughter. Here it is. They all thought what would bring them happiness. And you notice it all kind of crumbled all around them. Think about Esau. He thought happiness would be getting a blessing. And now Esau was bitter to the point that he said this, I'm going to kill my brother as soon as my father's dead. He was so mad that he was waiting for the moment his dad died so that he could kill his brother. Talk about bitterness. Hey, how about Jacob? He got the blessing, but he was on the run, scared to death for his life. How about Rebecca? Here's Rebecca. She goes, well, I've got what I wanted now. Jacob, go to Laban, my father's house. Stay there just a few days until your brother settles down. I don't want you to die. Rebecca would never see her son again. She would die while her son was still with Laban. He would work, Jacob would work for 7 years for Rachel and be deceived. As he one day deceived his father and deceived his older brother, he was going to be deceived by Laban. Another 7 years, he'd finally have Rachel. And then a household of strife. They all thought what they wanted was going to make them happy. And what they got, they lost their joy for temporary happiness. Well, I'll tell you this, scheming always seems to promise that we're going to get what we want. And believing always says, I don't know if I'll ever see it. But believing is when I say, I believe in him, and I believe he's a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. Sooner or later, though I can't see it, I know there's a reward. Scheming says, I know better. And it leads to bitterness, to brokenness. Hey, but when you say, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to love God, I'm going to pursue God, something happens. Joy. There is joy in serving Jesus. And it's not just a song. This family fell apart because they thought, I know better. I've got a plan, and I know my way of doing it, and I can just picture them saying, no need to inquire of the Lord, no need to seek counsel. I know what I want. Isaac said, I know what God said, but I'm going to set that aside because I want Esau to be my heir. And Rebecca looking over, I know what God said, and God must be off because it's not happening, so I'm going to do what it takes to make Jacob the heir. And Jacob saying, well, I'm supposed to have it, and I want it, so I'm going to deceive, and I'm going to get it in spite of what the word of God says. And Esau saying, everybody's against me. I tell you what, I'm just going to settle all my scores and I'm going to kill them all. And all there was brokenness, bitterness, anger. Be careful when you scheme for what you want because you may very well get it and find out it's nothing like it promised. Here it is. What we must do is say, you know what, here it is. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to set the schemes aside, and I'm going to believe God. I think of our theme for the year, let God arise. It's not about my plans. It's not about my plot. I'm going to ask God to do something in my life and in my family. I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to follow him in spite of what I think might be right in front of me. I'm going to believe him rather than scheme and plot my way through it. I'm going to love him. First. What do you love first? I believe this in a family, everybody's first love ought to be the Lord. In Indiana, I have been there in a little while, and they used to have these license plates that always said kids first. I understood the sentiment, but it was just so off base. It's not kids first, it's not even your spouse first, it's God first. And if you got God first, everything else falls in its right place. This family lost sight of that. Isaac wasn't even thinking of Rebekah anymore. He was thinking of what he wanted through Esau. Rebekah wasn't even thinking of Isaac anymore. She was thinking of what she wanted through Jacob. Jacob just thought about Jacob, and Esau just thought about Esau. And next thing you know, it was all crumbling about him. Isaac was watching his family break apart as Esau wanted to kill his brother. Jacob was on the run for his life and ended up being deceived by a man named Laban. Rebekah would go to her grave without ever seeing her son again. Hey, Jacob, just go. It's just going to be a few days. Just a few days. Go over there for a few days. Years. And she died without seeing him. Here's a caution for you, parent. Be careful of the counsel you give. Be careful of the counsel you give. Years. Finally, they got back. Finally, Jacob and Esau's relationship would be restored. But it was years later. Here it is for you and I. The challenge is this. Just believe God. Just believe him. If he said it, that settles it. That settles it. I'm going to grab this book because the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall what? Hey, this guy will fade away one day, but this book won't. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I believe it, and I'm going to stay by it. I'm going to believe and trust that God is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. That sometimes I don't always see what God's doing, but if I follow him and trust him, I know that he always comes through. Love him first. Love him first. Put God number one in your life. You start putting anything or anyone out of that brokenness. And don't satisfy yourself for happiness. Choose to joy. Happiness, if you will, is temporary. It comes and goes with a circumstance, with getting what you want. But joy keeps going and keeps going. Well, a good example of that is when someone we love who knows the Lord goes on to be with glory. There's heartache for the moment, but there's joy in knowing that person is with the Lord Jesus Christ. A joy that is in spite of it. But happiness, it'll be gone. And only brokenness. Only brokenness. They swapped out happiness for joy, and they got heartache. Really, their trade was heartache is what they chose in their family. Trust God. Love God. Hey, choose to follow God. This was what you might call a picture-perfect family. If you could put them today, we might put them on Instagram or whatever it is, Facebook or whatever your social media platform of choice is. And from the picture, it all looked good. This was God's chosen people, God's chosen line, from which he would bring forth the Messiah that would save his people from their sin, whom all the people of the earth would be blessed through him. And it looked perfect on the picture. But on the inside, they weren't trusting. On the inside, they weren't loving the Lord. On the inside, they had chosen happiness over joy. I'll tell you, friend, trust God. Maybe you're in Rebecca's place where you're looking around and you're saying, I don't see how it's going to work. God promised it, but you're wondering how it's going to work. Trust him. Trust him. Maybe you're Isaac. I don't like God's will. I don't like what he said. Trust him. Hey, love him first. Love him first. It'll make every other relationship better. Love him. That's where joy comes from. That's where it all is settled at, when you decide to love God first and to trust him in spite of everything. Let's pray. Lord, I